Welcome back to Yahoo Finance's Market Movers. We are live from the NASDAQ market site in New York City's Times Square. The global pandemic actually was not enough to discourage companies from going public. In fact, 2021 is already a record year for initial public offerings, even more than during the dot-com bubble of 2000. And the NASDAQ continues to be the leading U.S. exchange for technology, consumer, and healthcare IPOs. Joining me now is the president of the NASDAQ Stock Exchange, Nelson Griggs. Nelson, good to be here with
welcome,
you.
Welcome, Alexis. Great to have you here.
What a year for IPOs.
It's been amazing.
You have welcomed over, year to date, over 550 new companies here at the exchange, including some high profile ones like Duolingo and Robinhood. Yeah. Tell us what's on tap in the fall and what does the fourth quarter look like?
Yeah, so we of the 560 companies that have been public, over 250 have been operating companies. So that is enormous in its own right. And then we've raised the most capital ever already on NASDAQ this year. So that sets up for a big fall because there's a very, very healthy pipeline. You've seen some of the names file already. Next week we have GitLab, we have AvidXchange. And then following that, there's quite a bit more in the consumer, tech, and healthcare space. Now obviously the markets have to cooperate.
Right. And they're not cooperating today, of course. Tech continuing to get hit. And we continue to see this rotation out of technology because the NASDAQ is so concentrated with tech companies. When you have days like these or periods like these, what does it do to the overall exchange?
Well, to the exchange, it's obviously a day where you want to make sure you're trading efficiently. There's resiliency and things of that nature. But if you do look back at where you are from multiples, where the market is historically, it is still very, very high, very positive. I think you look, one day is not going to be a microcosm of the entire year. September was a bit of a sell-off, but it's also on the backdrop of just, again, tremendous growth over 20 and 21.
Let's talk about some of the ways these companies are choosing to come to market.
Sure.
I know Amplitude happened just a week or two ago, and that was with a direct listing.
Yeah.
SPACs were huge late last year and early this year, and then they sort of fell off a cliff as the SEC is now looking to regulate them. Are you seeing SPACs make a comeback? Or are they starting to stabilize?
Yeah, well, the SEC has always regulated SPACs. I think they're taking a little closer look in terms of the mechanics of how the combinations happen and how the forward projections are basically being put out by the not only the SPAC, but also the combination company. So there's we've had a very active SPAC year. There's still many combinations going on. It is taking longer for the combinations to actually go through. So we'll see how it shakes out. But I think if you're a sitting company, you're looking at these options to say, I have the route of a traditional IPO, I can consider SPACs, which they're getting many calls from the sponsors to consider going public that way. Then you also have direct listing to starting to pick up a little bit of activity as well, too. So it's a great time to be a private company.
So the most popular way, if you will, to go public is still the traditional IPO. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If you look at over 250 IPOs on NASDAQ going the traditional route versus direct listings being a much, much smaller number, two so far this year, it's still predominantly seeing traditional IPOs.
I want to talk for a minute about activity you're seeing coming out of China.
Sure.
Because the number of Chinese listings in the U.S. Basically dried up over the summer. The SEC still continues to want more transparency from these companies. They want to audit their books. China continues to push back. What are you seeing in terms of demand coming from China and for investors wanting a piece of those companies?
Yeah, I'd say we are definitely in a pause moment with Chinese companies. At the same time, we're seeing activity pick up in the rest of Asia Pacific, more companies from Australia, Singapore, et cetera. India as well is starting to be an attractive market, and Freshworks has a huge heritage in India that went public here in the U.S. just recently. So I think you're looking at China's on a pause. We do need to see the regulators come together and say, what's the right framework for transparency, disclosures, for that really to kind of get the activity level that we saw prior to the slowdown.
Do you think that delisting some of these Chinese companies could really be on the table? And are you seeing investors get a little antsy as that becomes more of a possibility? Meaning, are they going to start dumping U.S. ADRs and looking to other exchanges like Hong Kong to buy into those Chinese companies?
You've definitely seen increased volatility, right? So any time there's a news or a headline come out about what might be happening in China or happening in the U.S., you have seen those stocks sell off fairly significantly. So I think we really need to understand that in terms of delistings, we have a ways to go there to understand, can the regulators come together? That's what the important thing. Hopefully we can work together because there's some great companies. We'd love to see the U.S. investors have access to them. But really, again, we need the regulators to try to come to the table together.
Recently, you've won some business from other exchanges. I know that Xerox came to NASDAQ. Are you seeing more of that trend? And why are companies telling you they're making the switch?
Yeah, we're up to now over $2 trillion in market cap switching. We're obviously happy with Xerox coming to NASDAQ. We've had Honeywell this year, one of the first Dow 30 stocks to switch. So we work really tirelessly at NASDAQ to build up a lifecycle story. We help companies think about their IR programs or governance programs. We have this wonderful facility here for visibility. We do a lot on that. So I think it's been quite a bit of trend. We also have a very good IPO win rate, so we're feeling pretty good about our story.
Now, I know last year the NASDAQ did something no exchange has done yet, and that is to propose new rules that would mandate diversity on companies' boardrooms or in companies' boardrooms. You know, some people think it's overreaching, that this is not the place of an exchange to tell private capital how to deal with their boards. But what are you hearing from companies right now? And if companies are not in compliance, do they risk being delisted?
Well, again, it's not a mandate for having board diversity. It's a mandate for disclosure. So we do need companies to disclose what their board diversity is over a period of time.
Okay.
And then we have a recommendation for what board diversity would look like. And if you don't have that, you have the ability to explain to your investors why you don't. So it's really more of a disclosure rule than a mandate rule. Mm-hmm. And if you look at where investors are going, where we believe companies are going, it's something that we felt was important to have something in place to give some framework. And it's been, I'd say, well-received, not by everybody. We have a lot of discussions that we do have to go through about the why. Mm-hmm. But we feel very confident in the fact that we've come out there with a good long-term approach.
Now, I know we're here in person, something that I personally haven't done in about 18 months. Yeah. You're having more and more bell ceremonies actually here, closing and opening bell ceremonies. How are companies responding to that? Yeah. And I'm also curious if there are any changes that you implemented during the pandemic that will stay with the NASDAQ.
Yeah, two great questions. So obviously, we have to follow all the guidelines. We also have a testing regime in place, as well as requiring vaccinations if you're going to be here in person, for the protection of our companies and our employees, but companies want to be here. So we have an amazing celebratory first day. We've had companies bring over 100 people or so. Their employees get involved, because it is a culmination of years of hard work, and they want to celebrate. They want to showcase their brands to the world. So we have a wonderful platform to do that. So we're excited to continue that. You'll see more of that happening this fall. And then I think the biggest thing that's changed in the pandemic is it used to be the folks that were here in person felt the most attention. But we have had a wonderful experience of bringing the employees around the globe into the experience here or virtually. So there's a NASDAQ app where they can go in, download the application. They'll go and watch the ceremonies. They can download their own pictures at home. They show up on the big billboard in Times Square. We've gotten more and more compliments from companies saying, wow, it felt like it was a whole inclusive event here at NASDAQ. So it's been fun. That's going to stay.
That's awesome. Yeah. We've all found ways to sort of beef up our virtual presence,
haven't we?
Nelson Griggs, president of the NASDAQ market site, thanks so much.
Thanks for being here. Thanks.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having us.